Let's look at today's readings from the point of view of the women. Because women are not very visible in the Bible, there are a few epic stories of women who are forces of nature in their own right. Esther and Moses' sister Miriam, the prophet Deborah might spring to mind. Others are mothers and ensure salvation history through their children. We might think of Sarah, Ruth, Rachel, and in the New Testament, Elizabeth, and of course Mary. So one of these readings is directly about a woman, Hannah. In the other, it's hard to believe that there wasn't a woman present, listening and worrying. But she's generally inaudible and invisible. And today, we'll stand alongside each of them briefly, starting with Hannah. Hannah's backstory might remind us of Rachel's. She is the beloved childless second wife, taunted by the first wife, who has borne their husband, children galore. Eli the priest initially thinks Hannah's distressed silent prayer is because she is drunk. But when he understands, he prays for her, tells her to go in peace. And within a year, she has a baby boy. How amazing is it that she didn't do what most of us would? She didn't just treasure him and raise him through childhood at home. She gives him back to serve the Lord. What an extraordinary act of generosity and trust. We struggle to imagine what it must have cost her to leave her little boy Samuel at the temple. She goes on to have other children, 3 boys and 2 girls, we're told. But every year, she faithfully takes Samuel clothes when she visits the temple. And a tale of 2 sons, which Jesus told, lives on in us in a different way because there's no neat, happy ending. Neither do we know the backstory of the family, though it seems it wasn't entirely happy or straightforward. The younger boy was a rebel. He might have had chutzpah and charisma, but his life was all about him. The constraints of home chafed to the extent that he was prepared to demand his inheritance and take off, dishonouring himself and his family. It was a one-way ticket. The necessary arrangements were made, and he took a third share of his father's assets, and he left, shaking the dust from his sandals. But after he had gone, their father did little but watch out for him and pine. The servants were long-faced and slow. The older son took on running the farm, stepping up, trying to fill the gap and the damage. But it was hard not to resent the lost land, the lost status, and the smug neighbour who'd got a bargain. The boy's mother is unseen and unheard, but her tale deserves telling. We imagine her looking back on better times. She remembers how it used to be, the place full of energy, colourful, vibrant. Her boys, the one introvert and dutiful, and the other naughty, lighting the place up with his pranks. She is sad. She has chivied them, loved them into manhood. Now her first boy says nothing, weighed down by it all. The servants drag themselves around. She worries as she watches her husband aging in front of her eyes. Diminished. Nothing brings any of them joy. And she can't see what might change that. The months pass, and on yet another dreary day, she hears a cry from the rooftop and running steps. Her husband and a younger son, whom they never thought to see again, are embracing outside, weeping in each other's arms. There is forgiveness and welcome. Those two will never take each other for granted again. In the drama, the relief, the joy, the boy who kept the show on the road is invisible, forgotten. Tired and hungry, hangry, he returns home, the party in full swing. No one has thought to tell him. Inevitably, he explodes. He's been written out in all the excitement, and nothing can change that. You are always with me. He was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found. Fine words, but do they ring true to the older boy? We somehow doubt it. It feels like too little, too late. It reminds us that in any situation, whoever is the grown-up in the room at the time needs to rely on their head as well as their heart, to step back as well as to leap in. And a party is tainted. It is no longer a truly joyful celebration. Their mother holds joy, pain, guilt, tension, as mothers do. She longs for a way through where there seems to be no way. She continues her household duties as she has always done. And feeling some responsibility for how family members get on, she prays. We're left not knowing whether or how much things heal over time. But healing can only happen if we give each other space and act with our heads and our hearts with wisdom and with grace. So maybe we just take a moment to wonder about the aftermath from one of the family's point of view. Blessed are the peacemakers.